It's Bill and Wendy. It's 720 WGN. Thank you, Kim. Great job. And we have an in-studio guest.
It's Patrick McDonald, Wendy, the film critic over at HollywoodChicago.com, also the chief tour guide for Chicago Film Tour. Go to ChicagoFilmTour.com or give them a call at 312-593-4455 if you like. Hi, Patrick.
Thank you, Bill.
How are you?
And we are running 10:30 on Saturday and 12:30 on Sunday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. Is this summer meeting expectations? You know, the two busiest seasons for movies are your summer season and your holiday season. And it seems like this year, a lot of the big name movies that were so highly anticipated have just kind of come and gone very quickly.
Yeah, it's really tough to say. It's hard for me to judge sometimes because you see them, you put out the review, and then suddenly they're 3 weeks past, and you're like, did I do that one or did I see that one?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess in that sense, nothing is really memorable. I love Star Trek Beyond, and. But, you know, am I going to run out to the theater and see it again? You know, probably not, just because I don't see anything twice recently. So
I don't really ever see anything
twice.
You
don't, do you?
No, and I laugh at my husband for watching Star Wars like 500 times.
Yeah.
Because, I guess if it's a movie you really love, but it just seems foolish to me to go see it
to
again.
See it over and over.
Well, I mean,
maybe later in your life.
Cinema comfort food. That's what most people treat movies like. You know, if they're in a certain mood and they want to watch Die Hard again, they will. You know, that's what gets them going.
You know, last night, my family's in New York.
Okay.
And last night, after I played tennis, my plan was a friend and I were going to go see this movie Lights Out that came out a couple of weeks ago, a horror film, got great reviews.
Yeah.
It's already gone. It's in some theaters. It's still in a couple of theaters. But it opened really big and with good reviews, and I couldn't find it yesterday. It was playing nowhere near me.
That's pretty interesting because it's made $57 million on a $4.9 million.
So it's playing somewhere.
Yeah.
It's playing somewhere.
I was going to say probably it underperformed, but it doesn't look like from this list. So.
No, it did all right.
Yeah.
How about this?
Yes.
Every once in a while, a movie will come along, and I'll use Suicide Squad as a great example.
Okay.
Most critics really trashed that movie. They
yes.
did not like Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
But then it has a huge opening week, and then here's what always happens, or nearly always happens. After that first initial week, it just takes a huge, huge free fall.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It opened on 4,200 screens.
Wow.
So, I mean, you almost can't go wrong because it's going to be in every town
right.
and every city in America. And,
right.
You know, if that's the movie of the week or the flavor of the week, they're going to go for it. And there was a big backlash against the critical trashing of that film.
And even from Jared Leto himself. He said he was tricked into playing the role.
Tricked
you know about
into
this?
Playing the role.
Somebody tricked him into playing the Joker. That's not good,
they
Patrick.
Tricked him when they gave
Did
him
Ryan Lochte tell him a story that wasn't true?
I'm sorry.
Did Olympic athlete Ryan Lochte make up a story for him? What happened?
That's very odd, isn't it?
It is.
I mean,
it is. But doesn't this show that if you have an audience for any given movie,
yes,
like people who were going to see Suicide Squad, didn't matter if every critic in the world hated it,
right.
They had made up their minds they wanted to see that movie.
Well, there was a survey after the film. There's a survey company that actually asked moviegoers what they thought, and 70% gave it a positive review.
Did they?
I think, you know, you're much more discerning. I mean, let's just say when you pay for a movie and go in and your expectation is, well, I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah.
I'm going to have my tub of popcorn and I'm going to watch Suicide Squad. You're probably going to like it.
Yeah.
Because that's what you plan to do. Whereas a critic goes, you know, and this is his fifth screening of the week or his fourth superhero film of the summer.
Yeah.
And they're saying, oh, you know.
Seen it.
Well, then they shouldn't be a critic.
Well,
aren't you supposed to go in it with an open mind?
Yes, yes, but I think there's a comparative thing going on. You know, there's a constant give and take in comparison with the critics regarding just actual movie going. It's a different experience for
right.
us. It is. I mean, that you only have to be truthful when you're saying that. I gave it 3 out of 5.
Did you? Okay, so that's
yes.
that's one of the more positive reviews.
Yes.
Most of the reviews I saw just shredded it.
They were all sociopaths, and I think that's what I
connected maybe that's
to.
What it is. You recognize a little bit of yourself
exactly.
in there.
Exactly.
All right, so how do you separate when you're going into a movie? Because even you've been a film critic for quite a while, but yes. even you must have, like, there's certain movies where you're really, really looking forward to it.
Yeah. I mean, Star Trek Beyond, perfect example. Yeah. And, you know, to go in there and, you know, have a high expectation and then come out with still, hey, they did it. They brought it forward. But the second Star Trek movie didn't do it for me at all.
No.
You know, and I went in with the same high expectation. So, you know, and then there is the ones that surprise you that, you know, you didn't expect this to be good. And then it suddenly is, you know, top of the list.
Isn't that the best?
That is the best.
I love when that happens.
That's the best.
Patrick Wendy yesterday had a suggestion for Hollywood. She said, put Star Wars and Star Trek together in one movie. Please tell her why that could never happen.
Can I just say, I didn't say they should do it. I said with J.J. Abrams doing both, I was talking this over with Jimmy Mack, and I said, what do you think? And he said, I don't know that they're going to do it, but boy, it would really be a good movie. I don't think I think it could happen.
It would be... Aren't they parallel universes? No, I guess it is a galaxy far, far away.
Star Wars happened a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Star Trek happened in the future.
Right.
But so, I guess...
time travel, I don't understand how it works.
Yeah.
It's just maybe they're, you know, cruising by and they wave to Worf or something.
Oh, all right.
The old wormhole.
That would be a good scene, I guess.
Didn't they have one of the E.T. aliens in one of, like, the Senate scenes?
Yes, they did.
We talked about that.
It could happen.
So there you go. You might see Kirk at the Senate.
All right, maybe, possibly. Yeah. Patrick McDonald is here. He's the film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. He's the chief guide for Chicago Film Tour. Go to Chicago Film Tour.
Hey, chief.
Don't you insist that people call you that when you're on the tour?
Yes, I do.
He's adamant. You must refer to Patrick as chief when doing that.
Who was that, Nancy Culp?
Nancy Culp. Yeah.
Chief!
Stick around. More to come.
More it's us, Bill and Woody. Post-baby boomer memories
right.
to come.
It's us, Bill and Woody on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Patrick McDonald is here, film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. Chief guide, and yes, you have to call him chief when you're on the tour of Chicago Film Tour. Go to chicagofilmtour.com. All the information's there. Patrick, we had earlier today, Ralph Macchio sat exactly where you're sitting.
Wow.
Of Karate Kid fame and The Outsiders and My Cousin Vinny.
Yes.
And so many others. All right, so Ralph Macchio was there, and I brought up to him one of my biggest pet peeves in movie sequels, and here's what it is. All through The Karate Kid, his character, Daniel-san, is in love with Elizabeth Shue.
Right.
And then when they get together at the end, you say to yourself as a filmgoer, well, they're meant to be. They will stand the test of time. Those are two kids that are in love and good for them. They're together forever. And then in Karate Kid, there's no sign of Elizabeth Shue. She's out of the picture. Time to move on. I've seen this in other films, too, where the whole movie... The movie Ted, the subplot of Ted is that there's a man and a woman that are in love, and then Ted 2 comes out and she's gone. Why? Well, there should be a law against that, right?
Well, teenagers are so fickle.
But not in Ted. They weren't teenagers. Mila Kunis isn't a teenager.
Mila.
When My Baby Smiles at Me.
They also smoke a lot of marijuana in that movie.
Well, they did, didn't they?
They did.
And they had a talking bear, and that didn't confuse me at all, but their love relationship did for some reason.
There you go.
Right. So shouldn't the MPAA make a law that says if you set up a love story in part one, when the sequel comes, they still have to be in love?
Yes, they should. That should be called the Ralph Macchio rule.
The Ralph Macchio law. I like it.
If you're out there, Ralph.
Movie-wise, this week there is an animated film that opened that looks so good, and I'm hoping it is. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's an amazingly beautiful film, 4.5 out of 5. It's called Kubo and the Two Strings. This is a film from the same people who brought you Coraline, The Box Trolls, Paranorman.
Mm-hmm.
They do that kind of George Pal puppetoon stop motion type animation, but they, you know, use a computer.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of 3D printing, by the way, to formulate their characters.
That's really cool.
It's a really amazing process. And in fact, the guy who directed it, Travis Knight, is the son of Phil Knight from Nike.
Oh, really?
Yes. And he worked, Travis worked for Will Vinton Studios, who did the PJs.
Yeah.
And his father said, hey, that's a good investment. So he bought Will Vinton Studios, changed it to LAIKA, L-A-I-K-A, Entertainment. And they produced Coraline and the subsequent
three
films.
Boy, they do good work.
They do excellent work. They're very much in the classical animation school.
Yeah.
So,
George Pal is the one who did the animation way back, like from the Time Machine and Puppetoon. Yeah. It's some of the first stop motion. Harryhausen's the other guy, right?
Yes.
See the other guy that used to do that? Yeah. All right. So this movie, it's what's the storyline? What are we getting with
the
this?
The storyline's a classic sort of Wizard of Oz journey. A boy is in a battle and initially loses an eye. His mother raises him on the ocean front, but he goes into the village. He has a magic box guitar, and he's able to strum it. And what's amazing to me is it forms little origami figures, like the paper folding figures, and they become animated, and that's what entertains the villagers. So he has a sense of magic, and once somebody discovers his sense of magic, the sorcery of good and evil fight for his soul, and he ends up traveling with a beetle and a monkey.
Best way to travel, Patrick.
Right.
Get a beetle and a monkey. I would pick Paul McCartney and Peter Tork.
There you go. Wow. Wow. There's the pun of the day, folks.
So the story you're describing, it sounds more adult than it does childish to me.
I think kids will love this. It's a very simple story, just like Finding Dory. You know, it has a moral that kids can attach themselves to, and they can understand that moral through the journey of the characters. And that's what they did in Finding Dory, and that's what they did in Kubo. And I think those two are going to compete for best animated film. Of course, we haven't seen what they're going to come up with in the fall yet, but so far, those are two just superior animated films this summer. I mean, there's an argument the animated films have overtaken
the live action. This story has Asian roots, correct?
Yes, it's
fairly well known story.
It's a wholly new story. They tried to make it like a folktale, but they made up the story themselves.
Now
there's a little controversy because the only Asian voice in it is George Takei. Excuse me.
Oh my!
So
we should take that on the road, you guys.
Want to travel with that? All right,
a 3-person show for one man.
No.
And he's fourth on the list after Charlize Theron, Matthew McConaughey, and Ralph Fiennes.
So people are saying you have a story with a bunch of Asian characters.
Yes.
Why weren't there more Asian actors employed?
And I got to interview Travis Knight, and I asked him that question. I said, called it the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
And when he was giving the answer while I was in the interview room, I was like, it sounds like a politician's answer. But when I did transcribe it, he did describe the process of putting together an animated film, and one of the processes is casting, and one of those considerations in casting is just getting the best person there with no concern for genetic makeup, just how they act with the character in front of the microphone. Now, I countered that to open a animated film, it helps if you have some movie stars, right?
Sure it does.
So, you know, I think it's a combination of both with them. And McConaughey and Charlize Theron do an excellent job.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that question.
The movie, again, is called Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yes.
And it is or it is not in 3D?
It is in 3D.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. 3D and IMAX as well. I don't know if IMAX is going to show it here, but check your local listings, as they say.
I'm sure you encounter people who say this all the time. Mm-hmm. A lot of times in a bigger Plex theater situation, some theaters will carry it in 3D and some will not, and they'll go, I don't need to see it in 3D. But a lot of times with a movie that was made with that intention, you do want to spend the extra couple dollars.
Well, this is spectacular too. It's sumptuous. It's just in the animation. They kind
That's
of
a
go
great adjective.
Sumptuous,
I
Wendy.
Love it.
When do you see a movie if it's sumptuous?
I will do that. But will I get like 3D sick? Sometimes I get sick at some of the 3D movies.
I have to take
my glasses off.
It's hard to say because of motion, you know. That's where you get the 3D sickness, you know. This film, I think animated's a little easier on the eyes for 3D.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. Because again, you're right. It's created for that form.
Yeah.
Whereas live action, you can create it for that form, but it doesn't necessarily match up to that form.
Right.
Especially when you have a lot of motion.
Right.
So
right.
I'm getting like John Michael now.
Wendy also, I'm sorry, Patrick, you wanted to bring this up, and we should talk about this.
Okay.
It has little to do with movies, but it does have to do with entertainment.
All right.
And that is that Eve Plum is selling her house, and you said, can we please discuss this? So why
Jan.
Wouldn't we? Yeah, Jan Brady.
Jan Eve Plum as Jan?
She.
I sang that every time to the Brady Bunch theme. Eve Plum as Jan. And Ann B. Davis as Alice, although I did it better. When I was younger. Every time.
Why did you add lyrics to
You made lyrics up for the Brady Bunch.
Because I watched it every time and I got bored with hearing it.
You did that to X-Files too, though.
Yes. The X-Files is a show with music by Mark Snow. It's sometimes I can't stop myself.
No,
my brain's always
that's fine.
Moving.
That's, you want that.
This is good. You're anticipating your future.
Eve Plum bought this house when she was 11 years old. She took her Brady Bunch money and purchased a house at 11.
Yeah, wow. She had some good advice, apparently. Maybe some uncle or something.
Yeah.
$55,000 on the Malibu beach.
Oh, my God.
You want to hear the price she sold
it for? $55 million?
Well, wait. Before you say it, if she was 11 years old, so this would have been 1974, 75, somewhere in there.
Early in the show's run,
All right. Mm-hmm. So she bought the house for $55,000 and just turned it this week for how much?
$3.5 million.
That's a pretty good investment. She's a very good investment.
That was a good investment.
Eve Plum as
And she probably, when she was 18 or something, lived there for a good 10 years or so on the beach.
Hochberg yelled at her for not reinvesting the money somehow and making it even more money. He's furious. Hochberg's furious with Jan Brady.
And the weird thing is, Marsha's actually going, Jan.
Right.
Jan.
Yes. I know.
Marie McCormick.
Thank you, Patrick.
Yes,
appreciate you being there. Film critic Patrick McDonald is for HollywoodChicago.com and, of course, the chief guide over Chicago Film Tour. We'll take a quick break and then find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.